Rightly interpreting God's Word. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
The greatest question that we have been challenged with throughout history is the question, has God really said? In fact, that was Satan's ultimate attack in the Garden of Eden when he went after Eve, questioning and challenging the integrity of God's word. What had God said? What did God command? And did what God command and what he said would happen if they broke his commandment, would it really come to pass? We're thankful that you've taken time out of your day-to-day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. And as always, we direct you to our website at agradio.org for all the podcasts and information about who we are, what we believe, and maps to churches in your area. Well, here we are studying Genesis chapter 3, continuing our study in this great book and looking at the beginnings, looking at origins. How did things come to be the way that they are? And we've begun looking at yesterday this great question of Satan. Has God really said that you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? This was a satanic assault on God's word. But I want you to notice how Satan worded it. He had already twisted it from the beginning. God had said in chapter 2, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. God had said you may freely eat of all the trees except one. And we looked at yesterday what Satan had done to the Lord. Satan had casted the Lord in an awful light. He had made him to look like somebody who was restrictive and hard and cold and not out for the best interests of his creatures. It's no wonder Jesus said he was the father of lies from the beginning. So what essentially Satan had done is now rephrase and reorganize and restate the word of God so as to make God's law seem unbearable, to make him seem that he was holding Eve and Adam back. This is an unreasonable burden upon you. He's way too hard, Eve. And Satan adds to this, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God to know good and evil. Here's the real clear hit. Not only does Satan twist God's word, not only does he attack God as being not good, but he calls God himself a liar. Has God really said? He's not out for your best interests. He's not good. He doesn't wish the best for you. What God doesn't want to happen is that you will become like him. Do you hear what Satan did? He's not out for you. He's out for himself. If you rebel against him and eat of the tree that he commanded you not to eat, what really is going to happen is you're going to become like him. You will become your own God. You will have your own autonomy. You will be able to live in freedom apart from him. Because really, under this rule, you're not free. He is inhibiting. He's taking away. He is binding. That's the essence of Satan's temptation. And dear listener, this is what he does to you daily. This is what you have been exposed to ever since. You know, how do we really view God? How do people view God today? They view him this way, as harsh and unloving and cruel and binding and not out for our good. This is a sad moment in history, isn't it? This was the young prodigal. I need to get out of my father's house. The issue here being whose authority you're under. This is the temptation. Will you live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, or will you pursue your own way of understanding in this life? That's it. That's what we're dealing with here. So Satan has first assaulted God's word. He's twisted it, planting the seed in Eve that this God is strict, that he's overbearing. And everyone pursuing a path of rebellion starts here. He looks at what is prohibited and he begins to say that is unreasonable. That makes no sense. They reinterpret it. They look at it through their own lens, through their own autonomy, and they act according to their own will. And this is the issue. We are often confronted with what God's word says. And the temptation is to question and to reinterpret it, asking if we've really understood it. Think about this. Think of what we see in Eve's response in verse 2. Well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, you see what Eve has done. She's entertaining the idea that God is being unreasonable in his command, and now she's adding to that command to cast God in a cruel light. God has said we can't even touch it. She's already reorganized and reframed in her own mind that this God is overbearing. And once Satan had her right there, he blurts out, "You will not surely die." Now, this is where I left off yesterday, and something that I think is so important for us to consider. What is the very first doctrine, the very first teaching that Satan blatantly, outrightly denied? It's the doctrine of divine judgment. Satan completely assaults the idea that there will be any consequences to actions. And that's what he has done to this day. He's removed consequences. He's removed fear so that people can live and do whatever they want. And that is the greatest lie perpetuated to this day that has been perpetuated throughout history by him that mankind has bought into hook, line, and sinker, that you can go out and live and do whatever you want to do. All under the banner that you have your own rights to live however you want to live. No one can tell me how I should live. No one can tell you how you shall live. We all have bought into Satan's lie that we are our own gods. And at the end of the day, we determine what is right and wrong. That is the greatest lie that Satan presented from the beginning. God won't judge. God will let you do what you want. God is understanding. God is tolerant. We can imagine this. He's a God of love. That's what we hear today all the time. He's a God of love, and he will be tolerant and promote understanding of your sin. Yes, God is love, but there's another side to the story, isn't there? God is also just. God is also holy, and he cannot tolerate sin. He has to punish sin. And so this is where we are today. Our whole tendency that we have seen play out in our modern culture is to make excuses for justifying and doing whatever we want to do according to whatever we have determined is right or wrong as we explain away God's very commandments, which are tied to his holiness. So the pathology of this that we looked at yesterday was clear. Satan offers a question, as one pastor said, based on the perversion of God's word. Eve begins to question it herself, evidenced by her revision of God's word. Satan then declares God's word wrong. He who has an ear, let him hear. And that leads us to the very sad verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. That statement right there becomes the most defining path of apostasy throughout the history of the human race. 1 John warns us that we should not love the world, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but are of the world. It goes hand in hand. She perceived, literally, the tree was good for food. Upon the temptation, there was an inward lust of the flesh to drive her away from God. As she entertained that lust and questioning God's word, the tree became pleasant to her eyes, the lust of her eyes, desiring to rule her own life and become her own God. Perceiving it was a tree desirable, she ate. By this time, dear listener, you should be asking the question, the very important question, where's her husband? Where's Adam? Don't you remember the Lord had created them to be one, and that Adam was given responsibilities? He was given the responsibility to exercise dominion. He was to tend the garden and to guard the garden, to keep it from anything that would offend. Adam was a king. Adam was a priest. So what a scene this is, isn't it? Here comes an intruder into God's sanctuary. And he could have fulfilled his mandate right then and there. What we have in Genesis chapter 3 is a desecration of the first holy place. This is what Jesus talked about. The first abomination that causes desolation. And that's exactly what it produced. The son of perdition has exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped. This is Satan, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Adam should have risen up. Adam should have judged this angel. You understand why the New Testament says we will judge angels. Adam should have judged this angel, cleansed the temple, crushed the head of the serpent. He should have defended the honor of the Lord's name. He should have protected his house. He should have loved his family and his wife. But where is Adam? Adam, where art thou? You want to know the worst thing about it? He was there the whole time. Why do I say that? Do you realize Adam was standing right there when Eve was being seduced and tempted by the devil? Verse 6 tells us that Eve took of its fruit and ate, and she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. I don't know how else to read it. He was with her. As a matter of fact, in the Hebrew, when the serpent speaks, he speaks in the plural form, meaning he was speaking to both of them. Oh, you see what just happened, haven't you? Who's running the household? Adam's not ahead. Adam's not leading. Satan knew just what to do. Assault positions. Remove authority structures. Attack authority structures. Adam was a lazy bum of a husband. He was passive. He did not lead. He did not love. And the worst thing is, when we look at the curse God gives upon Adam and Eve, basically he said, you want this, you got it. What we have seen play out in the marriage relationships ever since, and I see this all the time, men are completely passive, they don't lead, they're absent, they're distant, and in the typical home, the woman is taking the head role, dominating, so that we even know the statement today, if mom ain't happy, no one's happy. This is what's happened. We're living out the curse of the reversal of roles. And that's what Satan had tempted Eve with. Eve, you're being held back. You don't have to be submissive. You don't have to do these things. You can be your own God. Those are the ideals of feminism. And we've reversed those roles that God established. It has been the complete, what do we say? Emancipation of women from God and the God-ordained roles. That's what we've seen play out. And how has this left things? You know, how has this left things today? We have all sorts of books written about the battle of the sexes, and no one gets along, and divorce rates are all. I could go through this for hours. And that's exactly what the text says. We read, as soon as they ate, their eyes were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves coverings. Whatever mutual trust, whatever love, whatever harmony was there, it's gone. They were now fallen. They felt the shame. And the clothes showed that they were alienated from each other and from God. And the first thing they did was try to cover that shame themselves, using their own clothing to cover their sins. Dear listener, this is the story of the fall. And I don't know if you caught it, but the very first recorded communion service, if you will, was Adam and his wife dining with the devil, participating at his table, aligned with a new master. This is our story. This is the tragedy of the human race. It didn't end well. We lost. We failed. And today, we live in all kinds of misery because of it. We deserve it. This is what we chose in Adam. God would have been just to destroy us all right then and there. He is so just and pure and holy, he can't tolerate any of this. But I won't leave you here, dear listener. I won't leave you on Abounding Grace with this. He doesn't leave us here. When the second Adam came, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, he went out where? Into a wilderness. And who is he confronted by in his very first confrontation? He's confronted by Satan himself. And every single attack that Satan leveled on the first Adam, the last Adam, or the second Adam, as Romans 5 calls him, he faced in the wilderness. What was once a lush garden had become a wilderness for this Adam. Jesus Christ prevails. And what does he do when Satan tempts him? He lives by every single word which proceeds from the mouth of God. He doesn't buy into the lie. Has God really said? God has spoken, and Jesus kept that word. And after keeping every single bit, every single jot and tittle of God's word, he went to what God calls the curse tree, reminding us that where Adam fell and what happened to him, Jesus stood there to suffer the consequences. Before Adam and Eve sinned, what do we read? The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. After they sinned, what happened? They became aware of their sin. Their eyes were open. They tried to cover it. But God did something beautiful for Adam and Eve. We read that also for Adam and Eve, Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin, and he clothed them. He shed blood in the garden of some animal without spot, if you will. He shed that blood to cover them with skins. Because as the book of Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. What does this mean? Judgment in the Bible is often represented as the Lord uncovering and making bare one's nakedness. Adam and Eve could be clothed in true righteousness and holiness only because Jesus was stripped for us. Jesus Christ took on the full measure of our shame that our sin deserved. Gave up everything in order to make us rich. He was stripped of all of his dignity. What a thought. He who had no sin became sin for us. He became naked. He became accursed. He was stood open before the judgment seat of God without a covering for us. In his naked body and soul, bearing the wrath of God for sinners. He takes upon himself to become the curse, so that he can declare today, whosoever believes in him will never be put to shame. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Because he overcame, and we overcome by his blood, what he has done, he has secured the right for us to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You say, how can I be sure? The Lord has been so good, dear listener. Look at all the misery around you today. I want to appeal to your conscience for a minute. I want to appeal to how things are. I want to appeal to what you see every single day. Boston Marathon bombings. When you see stories of people who are killed for a man in Canada just last week, killed for his Dodge truck as they take him and murder him brutally. Somebody slain right in the open street of London. Awful atrocities, awful sins, such destruction and misery. What's coming next? We're at a loss of words when we see all this stuff. And God has just told you today what caused all of this misery. God has told you today that this misery was caused because of sin. But he's provided the answer, And I just grieve that so few will listen today. So few will believe today. But Jesus has come, and the Lord has declared that whoever believes in him will escape the wrath to come. I plead, come this day. And what kind of person would I be on Abounding Grace Radio? Or what kind of pastor would I be if I didn't warn people to turn from their sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ? The first thing Satan denied was a doctrine of divine judgment. And I remind you that story I told yesterday of Penn Jillette, who was interviewed by a man who wanted to proselytize him. Today we're told we can't do that anymore. But this man stood bold and he proselytized, telling Penn about the Lord, giving Penn a Bible. Penn said this man was sane and kind, not artificial. But Penn Jillette said something that we need to think about as Christians. Penn Jillette is an open atheist. He is not a believer. But he said this, "I don't respect people who don't proselytize. If you believe there is a heaven and a hell, and people are going to hell, and you're afraid to offend," or in other words, he said, if you're afraid because it's socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them? If you believe that a truck was bearing down somebody, it's going to run somebody over, at some point, he said, I'm going to tackle you. Surely the Christian message is more important than that. I'm hearing that said from an atheist. The first thing Satan openly said is not going to happen is divine judgment. Christians need to be asked today and think about, do we believe that there is a hell? Do we believe, as Jesus said, people will go there? Then we have to lovingly tell people that there is a way of escape and that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no salvation given. There is no other name given by which men may be saved. And so here on Abounding Grace, I give a call. I call everyone who's listening today to bow your head and repent of your sins and turn to Jesus. He can save you. He can save you from the misery you're in. He can bring you out of the darkness that you've chosen. He can save you from the sadness of sin that has overcome your life. And he can bring you into true freedom, giving you a life of peace and lasting joy. And when you go through this life, knowing that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and that he's given you salvation, you know that nothing can separate you from his love. And that when you die, you will go to a place where there will be no more sin. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more death. There will be no more tears. The former things will have passed away. And the Lord has said, all things will be made new. And so I want everyone to ask today, have you come to Jesus? I want to close with the words of 2 Peter chapter 3, where the Lord makes this promise. The Lord makes this promise that he will make all of this right. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things and being diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. In other words, the reason he hasn't put an end to this sad world is because he's still saving. And I pray that the one who hears this message today would be one of those whom he is saving and he brings into his kingdom of joy and peace. Dear listener, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved from the wrath to come. At Abounding Grace Radio, we are very grateful to have this opportunity to bring these radio broadcasts to you. We invite you to write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, L-Y-N-D-E-N, Washington, 98264. Again, that address is 732, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for taking the time to tune in to Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.